is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
April 9th, 2023. Beirut, a meeting of gangland leadership. For the Hezbollah terrorist gang, the chief Hassan Nasrallah. For the Hamas terrorist gang, Ismail Haniyeh. Meeting under portraits of the two Ayatollahs who've led the predatory state of Iran since the 1979 revolution, Khamenei and Khamenei. I welcome Jonathan Schanzer of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, who's publishing a new analysis of that meeting, April 9th, and the photograph that was displayed afterwards by Nasrallah's Hezbollah, by Haniyeh's Hamas. Why they wanted us to see it, and what it means. Have we turned a page in the Middle East conflict? Jonathan, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. I begin with that photograph because it's highly suggestive. Meetings of lords and gang lords like this suggest that something's already been achieved, and they're endorsing it with handshakes and photographs. What is the gray zone conflict that's been underway since your analysis, 2013? And has it come to an end? Good evening to you.
Good evening. There has been a gray zone war. The Israelis call it the war between wars, or the operation between wars. And there have literally been thousands of strikes. The Israelis have been striking at Iran, primarily in Syria, preventing weapons from getting through into Lebanon, into the hands of Hezbollah. But they've also been striking in cyberspace, and they've been striking in the maritime realm, and they have been assassinating Iranian nuclear scientists. All of this has been designed to postpone conflict and to operate just under the threshold of war. It has been a 10-year campaign, and it has been, I think, remarkably successful in the sense that we've not seen a full-blown eruption. However, this photograph that you just described is, I think, significant in that the Islamic Republic appears to be actively coordinating between its proxy groups in Gaza, in Lebanon, in Syria, in the West Bank, in Jerusalem, perhaps even in some of the mixed cities of Israel where Arabs and Jews live together, all with the goal of activating multiple fronts at the same time, in order to pin Israel down, and then perhaps even for Iran to fire some of its own weapons at Israel from afar. And so Israel is bracing for this. I think every time we see a new conflict erupt, even a relatively small one like we're seeing right now in the Gaza Strip, there is a fear of that multi-front conflict. And of course, this would be the first multi-front conflict for Israel since the 1973 Yom Kippur War.
Three silos: Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah. Do they work together, Jonathan?
They do. You have to remember that Iran provides weapons, training, and cash to Hezbollah, to Hamas, to Islamic Jihad, and to other proxies of Iran, the Houthis, of course, various Shiite militias in Iraq and Syria. And the indoctrination is there throughout all of it, right? So the Iranians are constantly preaching the kind of the key messages of its revolution. One is death to America, and the other one is death to Israel. For Israel, you know, I think they're unlucky in geography. They're close to the front. They're close to the action. They also are smaller. And so the potential is there for the Iranians. They see their goal of the destruction of the state of Israel. And this has been what they have been striving to achieve now since the revolution erupted in 1979.
To report, the IAF has been very successful in interrupting the flow of arms and munitions and personnel from Iran into Syria, into Lebanon, into Beirut over these last years. In particular, the concern is about something called the PGM. What are PGMs?
Sure. PGMs are precision guided munitions. These are, quite honestly, they're the weapons that have enabled the United States to dominate multiple battlefields, whether it's, you know, the response to 9/11 in Afghanistan, the invasion of Iraq, actually twice. We have the ability to strike with incredible precision, usually within about 10 yards of an intended target. And to be able to do so without incurring significant collateral damage, and to really, you know, I think dominate the battlefield, taking out top leadership of the enemy, taking out weapon systems of the enemy. And it's that precision that has enabled us, I think, to maintain dominance. And up until now, there has never been a non-state actor that has come into possession of these PGMs. And for Iran, it was a goal to be able to provide that weaponry to, in particular, to Hezbollah, possibly to other terrorist organizations that it supports as well. But with Hezbollah, it has been now ongoing for the last, say, about 7 years. We've been hearing it from the Israelis that there has been a smuggling effort where Iran ships weapons to the tarmac of the Damascus International Airport. And from there, they are smuggled onward into Lebanon. Sometimes it's, you know, truck convoys from Iran through Iraq into Syria and into Lebanon. And now there's even talk of how Iran has helped create factories so that Hezbollah can produce these PGMs domestically. But the bottom line is that Israel has interdicted a great many of them. In fact, the majority of them, but the Israelis still assess that several hundred have somehow leaked through. And those several hundred are now in possession, in Hezbollah's possession, and they have the ability, for example, to strike the Dimona nuclear reactor in Israel's south or the chemical plant in Haifa. Now, there are open questions as to whether Iron Dome, Israel's vaunted missile defense system, could interdict and destroy these weapons midair. But right now, it is a theoretical question. I don't know if we've actually seen Hezbollah try to fire any of these or any of Iran's proxies up until now. So there is this new wrinkle to a very long conflict where I think we may soon find whether Israel has the capability. If it does not, one can imagine a much wider war.
Hezbollah also, in your analysis, is responsible for the burst of violence in the West Bank, smuggling in weapons. How do they do it, Jonathan?
Well, the West Bank border with Jordan is a somewhat porous one. And I think the Jordanians, they've got a couple of problems. One is they're trying to actually prevent the smuggling of drugs into their country by way of the Assad regime on that Syrian border. There's a drug called Captagon. It is essentially the Middle East fentanyl. There is a crisis, an epidemic in the Middle East. And so the Jordanians are struggling with that. But I think there also may be a question of will, how much they truly care about stopping smuggling into Israel. And we know that there's been a huge amount of weaponry that Hezbollah in particular, by way of Iran, of course, that they've been smuggling into Israel, into the West Bank. There has been a surge of weapons that have been interdicted, but many of that have gotten through. What's really interesting, of course, is that, you know, Hezbollah and Iran, what they like to do is to see the West Bank essentially light up and have the West Bank become a new major front that Israel must contend with. And we have seen more than 1,500 different attacks against Israel out of the West Bank over the last year or so. So they're successful in that way. What's an interesting side effect is that we're actually also seeing a murder rate rise among Arab Israelis and among Palestinians as these guns are being used to settle personal scores. But the long-term effect here is, of course, very worrying, and that is that the West Bank is now more armed. It is more dangerous as the Iranians and Hezbollah try to foment unrest against Israel.
And Hamas, since the conflict in 2021, you observe that Hamas, relatively speaking, has been quiet. What are they up to?
Well, it's interesting. Last year, there was a war between Islamic Jihad and Israel. It lasted for essentially a weekend, and Hamas didn't join. And right now, as we speak, there have been rockets that have been fired out of Gaza into Israel, and Israel responding in kind. Again, Islamic Jihad, not Hamas. So Hamas has been sitting it out. I think they've been trying to keep their powder dry, and their strategy appears to be actually a rather simple one. They control the Gaza Strip. If you recall, they conquered it by force. They vanquished the West Bank, now with the West Bank Palestinian Authority. Back then in 2007, the Palestinian Authority controlled both Gaza and the West Bank. Hamas toppled the Palestinian Authority in the Gaza Strip. They've taken it over. And it's now a territory that they still control. So the question is, if you control a territory, why would you want to continue to invite the Israelis to destroy your military assets? And I think, you know, Hamas made a decision that waging war against Israel was counterproductive and did not enable the group to expand territory or to expand its power. So what they've done now is they've sat out two rounds. And they have been trying to export the violence to the West Bank primarily. And they've been letting Islamic Jihad, a smaller group, another Iranian proxy, sustain most of the wrath of the IDF. And that's what we've been watching over the last couple of days.
Jonathan Shanzer is Senior Vice President for Research at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. The problem is clear. Three-pronged attack, Iran, Hezbollah, Hamas. What is to be done when we come back? I'm John Patchen.